Catholic ideal is above extreme errors of individualism and collectivism. On the one hand, the sovereign pontiff insists that free competition alone cannot be the guiding principle in economic matters. This principle gained sway owing to the attack on the mystical body of Christ in the 16th century and to the prevalence of the Puritan or Calvinistic spirit. It has ultimately led to the domination of the state by the forces that control credit and finance. Writes the sovereign pontiff, quote, "Just as the unity of human society cannot be built upon class warfare, so the proper ordering of economic affairs cannot be left to free competition alone. From this source have proceeded in the past all the errors of the individualistic school. This school, ignorant or forgetful of the social and moral aspect of economic matters, teaches that the state should refrain in theory and practice from interfering therein, because these possess in free competition and open markets a principle of self-direction better able to control them than any created intellect. Free competition, however, though within certain limits, just and productive of good results, cannot be the ruling principle of the economic world. This has been abundantly proved by the consequences that have followed from the free run given to these dangerous individualistic ideals. It is therefore very necessary that economic affairs be once more subjected to and governed by a true and effective guiding principle, to wit, social justice and social charity." The sovereign pontiff then points out that as a result of unchecked competition, financial forces dominate the world. Quote, "In the first place, then, it is patent that in our days, not alone is wealth accumulated, but immense power and despotic economic domination is concentrated in the hands of a few, and that those few are frequently not the owners, but only the trustees and directors of invested funds who administer them at their good pleasure. This power becomes particularly irresistible when exercised by those who, because they hold and control money, are able also to govern credit and determine its allotment, for that reason supplying, so to speak, the lifeblood to the entire economic body and grasping, as it were, in their hands the very soul of production, so that no one dare breathe against their will. This accumulation of power, the characteristic note of the modern economic order, is a natural result of limitless free competition, which permits the survival of those only who are the strongest, which often means those who fight most relentlessly, who pay least heed to the dictates of conscience. Free competition is dead. Economic dictatorship has taken its place. Unbridled ambition for domination has succeeded the desire for gain. The whole economic life has become hard, cruel, and relentless in a ghastly measure. As regards the relation of peoples among themselves, a double stream has issued forth from this one fountainhead. On the one hand, economic nationalism, or even economic imperialism. On the other, a not less noxious and detestable internationalism, or international imperialism, in financial affairs, which holds that where a man's fortune is, there is his country. End of quote. The independence of states and all that is enshrined in the idea of native land must be strenuously defended against the international financiers who, it must always be remembered, are largely of one nation, the Jewish nation. On the other hand, the reaction against the abuse of private property by excessive individualism has paved the way for communism or collectivism. We saw in the earlier chapter the part played by Jewish financiers in implanting that anti-human system in Russia. Pope Pius XI, quote, "does not think it necessary to warn upright and faithful children of the church against the impious and nefarious character of communism," end of quote. He blames very severely both those who do not try to alleviate the conditions which exasperate men's minds and those who allow the propagation of communist doctrines. To remedy the terrible evils which have come upon the world from the domination of international financial forces, there must be a full return to the true Catholic attitude towards life and to the observance of the moral law. As has been pointed out already, the Church's teaching upon usury and speculation must be accepted. Pope Pius XI writes, quote, "A stern insistence on the moral law, enforced with vigor by civil authority, could have dispelled or perhaps averted these enormous evils. This, however, was too often lamentably wanting. For at the time when the new social order was beginning, the doctrines of rationalism had already taken firm hold of large numbers, and an economic science alien to the true moral law had soon arisen, whence it followed that free rein was given to human avarice. As a result, a much greater number than ever before, solely concerned with adding to their wealth by any means whatsoever, sought their own selfish interests above all things. They had no scruple in committing the gravest injustices against others. Those who first entered upon this broad way, which leads to destruction, easily found many imitators of their iniquity because of their manifest success, their extravagant display of wealth, their derision of the scruples of more delicate consciences, and the crushing of more cautious competitors. With the leaders of business abandoning the true path, it is not surprising that in every country, multitudes of working men, too, sank in the same morass. All the more so because very many employers treated their workmen as mere tools, without any concern for the welfare of their souls, indeed, without the slightest thought of higher interests. The mind shudders if we consider the frightful perils to which the morals of workers are exposed in modern factories. If we recall how the present economic regime, and above all, the disgraceful housing conditions prove obstacles to the family tie and the family life, if we remember the insuperable difficulties placed in the way of a proper observance of the holy days, end of quote. Catholic rulers and all Catholics everywhere must point out that salvation for the world lies in acknowledgement of the authority of the sovereign pontiff on usury, on the morality of stock exchange speculations, and on the morality of economic transactions generally.